This case is really about whether a local zoning law may prohibit a natural gas facility that may potentially be needed in order to provide adequate gas service to gas customers. Washington Gas has had a natural gas substation at a location in Chilham, Maryland for about 70 years. And that site is the intersection of interstate pipeline facilities as well as medium pressure facilities that distribute the gas to its customers in Virginia, District of Columbia, and Maryland. Maryland law requires that a natural gas company provide safe, adequate, economical, and efficient service to its customers. And in order to show the state Washington Gas is doing that, each year it files a document with the Maryland Public Service Commission to show what the projected needs are of the customers in Maryland over the succeeding 5 years. Back in 2005, Washington Gas identified a need within the system to meet peak customer demand. And in order to satisfy that need, in order to ensure that it had enough gas, natural gas, in order to provide customers with gas when they needed it during peak hours, it proposed to use its Chilham site as a liquefied natural gas facility, an LNG facility. To get that going, in 2004, Washington Gas first went to the county, Prince George's County, and asked that its facility be reviewed under what's known as a mandatory referral process. The county said, no, you're not allowed to do that. You have to go in and get a major change to your existing special exception to have a natural gas facility at the Chilham site. When Washington Gas applied for the major change to its special exception, storage of natural gas on the Chilham facility was allowed. The property was zoned as open space, and the natural gas storage was allowed as a special exception in the open space zone. From late 2005 until May of 2006, the hearing examiner for the county conducted numerous 7 evidentiary hearings on the special exception. But before we ever got to the end of that process, the county already had in the works a manner in which it was going to prohibit this facility altogether. And in fact, in March of 2006, the county introduced a resolution to include the Washington Gas Chilham site in this overlay zoning that it already had in place, as well as a development plan relating to the overlay. And the inclusion of the Chilham site in this overlay zone would mean that all public utility uses were prohibited at this site that had been used as a natural gas substation for over 70 years. The council adopted that resolution, including the property within the overlay zone, on May 23, 2006, the very last day of the hearings before the special examiner on the special exception. A couple months later, the hearing examiner on the special exception issued her opinion, and she denied the special exception on the ground that she wasn't clear that the LNG facility, whether or not it was safe. Although she did say that if the storage facility were smaller, then her concerns over safety would be alleviated. But in any event, because the county had just adopted a new law prohibiting the use altogether, there was no longer any need for the special exception. It is also important to note that the hearing examiner for Prince George's County specifically found that Washington Gas would experience a deficit in providing product to its customers if the request for the special exception were denied, and that it would need to seek more costly alternatives that may or may not be available. Washington Gas appealed the hearing examiner's decision to the county council, and at the hearing before the county council, sitting as the district council, staff came in and recommended denial based on safety considerations, and most all of the testimony before the county council related to safety concerns. In October of 2006, the council denied the appeal, again citing safety concerns, saying that the use could potentially damage people and property, and then also citing the new law which prohibited the use altogether. Washington Gas then filed for judicial review in the Circuit Court for Prince George's County, and when the Circuit Court judge remanded for additional proceedings, Washington Gas filed this suit in the United States District Court for the District of Maryland. Excuse my voice.
Okay.
At the same time, while this was going on, in 2005, Washington Gas filed an application with the Maryland Public Service Commission asking for all regulatory approvals that it needed in order to have its LNG facility at the Chillum site. Subsequently, engineering staff for the Maryland Public Service Commission determined that the LNG facility did in fact meet the federal and state safety requirements, the safety and siting requirements contained in the Pipeline Safety Act. And in addition, at another hearing, staff from the Maryland Public Service Commission testified that the proposed LNG facility was in fact, and I quote, a prudent resource because it is the least expensive option and the facility is needed to provide system pressure support for Washington Gas and its customers. Washington Gas is a little bit of an odd duck in the world of natural gas companies. It is a distribution company, and most distribution companies are local. They are located completely within the boundaries of a particular state. Washington Gas, however, in the words of FERC, has a very untypical operational status because it distributes gas across state lines and including into the District of Columbia. There is a provision in the Natural Gas Act which is intended to address this unusual kind of situation. Specifically, 15 U.S.C. Section 717 FF1 provides that if FERC has determined a service area for a public utility, then the enlargement or extension of the public utility's facilities within that service area occurs without further authorization from FERC. In other words, in a situation like where Washington Gas is, FERC essentially draws an imaginary line around the area that Washington Gas serves. So it includes two states in the District of Columbia. And then the Natural Gas Act comes in to say that when that line has been drawn, then you know you do not need to go, the Washington Gas or any public utility does not need to go back to FERC each time to get a certificate of public convenience in order to authorize the expansion or changes of the natural gas facilities within that service area. In a hearing before the district court, and FERC has done that with respect to Washington Gas does have a service area.
Which means that FERC has no jurisdiction.
That's correct. And at a hearing before the district court judge, expressed considerable concern over what that meant. She asked, well, if FERC doesn't regulate the extension of natural gas facilities within the service area, then who does? What exactly, she asked, does F2 govern? F2 says that if the commission has determined a service area, then transportation to ultimate consumers in the service area, even if across state lines, shall be subject to the exclusive jurisdiction of the state commission in which the gas is consumed.
Well, that may well be true to some extent, but what in the Maryland public utility law grants the Public Service Commission the authority to make location or siting decisions? I mean, where is their authority to do that?
There is no authority to do that with respect to this natural gas facilities. There is express authority in the public utility law for the Public Service Commission to do siting with respect to certain electric transmission lines.
But not gas.
But not natural gas, Your Honor. And the county has argued that is a problem. But in our view, the exclusive jurisdiction, which the district court found, we had argued that FF2 does not apply to the facilities. It only applies to transportation. And the district court disagreed with that. She said that there shouldn't be any mystery as to who has regulatory authority over the expansion of the Chillum site. And when she issued her opinion, she made sure that there was no mystery. She rejected the argument that F2 did not apply to the natural gas facilities. She noted that there's an and between the two provisions. So the first provision says, if there is a service area, you don't have to go back to FERC for approval, and then you are within the exclusive jurisdiction of the Public Service Commission in the state where the gas is consumed. As a result of, so the district court expressly held that the combination of F1 and 2 results in the Maryland Public Service Commission having exclusive jurisdiction to decide whether the Chillum site may or may not be expanded to include an LNG facility. This means then that Congress has decided in the Natural Gas Act that the applicable Public Service Commission has exclusive jurisdiction. The county did not file a cross appeal. That holding by the district court is therefore stands and is the law of this case. The grant of exclusive jurisdiction to the Maryland Public Service Commission over enlargement makes sense, and I would refer the court to the Appalachian Power case, which says that if something is within the exclusive jurisdiction of FERC, then others can't touch it. They don't have authority to do that. And this court said it makes sense to have a body that's going to look at the situation from a public standpoint comprehensively and objectively. That's what the Maryland Public Service Commission will do. That's not what the county does. It is therefore here the Maryland Public Service Commission and that commission alone that has the authority to decide whether this is or is not the appropriate type of facility at this particular location to meet increased market demand and capacity needs. And this makes sense because it will do so based on the public interest, not based on local and unfounded safety concerns. There's an addition. We believe that that grant of exclusive jurisdiction preempts the county's power to prohibit that which only the Maryland Public Service Commission has the power to decide.
Well, I thought the district judge held that the Natural Gas Act didn't preempt local zoning law.
She held that I don't think she held that exactly. What she held was that the Natural Gas Act didn't apply to the facilities of Washington Gas because Washington Gas wasn't subject to the jurisdiction of FERC.
Well, what about the Pipeline Safety Act? She also held it didn't exempt.
She held it did not preempt. She held the Pipeline Safety Act did not preempt local zoning, and we disagree with that holding, Your Honor. In our view, the Pipeline Safety Act, which is obviously separate from the Natural Gas Act, sets forth a comprehensive structure for regulating the location of LNG facilities. And it describes and regulates the location based upon safety. We have always argued in this case that it is a safety requirement. It requires the Secretary of Transportation to take land use considerations into account in deciding upon the location, like the natural features of the site and existing and proposed land uses. And the regulation that the Secretary came up with was to require these certain zones. And if you can establish those zones, they are a thermal exclusion zone and a vapor dispersion exclusion zone. If you can establish those two zones, then you are allowed to be at the site that the utility has chosen. The structure of federal law, as adopted into Maryland law, allows the utility to pick the location in the first instance and then requires either that the feds or an appropriate certified state authority approve the facility or disapprove the facility in the location chosen. This court really, I believe, needs to decide whether the Fifth Circuit in Texas Midstream, whether the reasoning of that case or the reasoning of Algonquin is applicable. The Fifth Circuit said local zoning can still apply. That case, however, did not deal with an LNG facility. It also did not deal with a complete prohibition on the use. And it, and in that case, there was a purely intrastate company. And I see that my time is up, so I will answer any questions you may have.
Let's hear from Mr. Pomper.
Thank you.
May it please the court, David Pomper for Prince George's County, which is the appellee here because we prevailed below. In its briefs, Washington Gas relied primarily on the Natural Gas Act. That's the first question presented in their briefs, and they rely primarily on 7F2, which was quoted here this morning already. It refers to transportation to ultimate consumers and to jurisdiction in the State Commission where the gas is consumed. Washington Gas says that that provision gives exclusive jurisdiction over the siting of Maryland facilities that are used to move gas to consumers in D.C. and Virginia. But the wording, structure, legislative history, case law, and practice under that provision are squarely to the contrary. On the wording, it refers to transportation, not facilities. And that's an important distinction. It's a distinction that permeates the Natural Gas Act. That's why Section 7 is different from Sections 4 and 5. And the distinction is also drawn elsewhere in Section 7. And transportation refers to the use of facilities to provide service. And the regulation of transportation is the regulation of the terms and rates of service. Siting is different. It's building facilities with which one provides service later. On the structure, the jurisdiction we're talking about here is clearly jurisdiction that Maryland, D.C., and Virginia all share with respect to the use of facilities in Maryland. That can't be siting jurisdiction. It makes no sense. And that lack of sense was, in fact, recognized by Washington Gas Counsel at the last oral argument in this matter at the district court level and this morning again. The legislative history, the reason 7F2 was enacted in 1988 was to ensure it addressed a particular fact situation actually involving natural gas. And it was to ensure that the rates and terms of service to hospitals in D.C. that were taking unbundled transportation service would be regulated by the D.C. Public Service Commission instead of by FERC. It had nothing to do with the siting of new facilities. On the case law, a lot of cases have been cited here, but I'd like to focus on three FERC cases in particular, because FERC is the agency that administers the Natural Gas Act, and so it gets Chevron deference. The first is Louisville Gas and Electric, 120 FERC, paragraph 62031. It holds that it is the consuming state, not the state where the facility is located, that has jurisdiction under 7F2. City of Toccoa, 125 FERC, paragraph 61048. It holds that when a 7F service area is determined, local environmental laws continue to apply. The third case is Cincinnati Gas and Electric, 117 FERC, paragraph 62074. This was cited below. It appears at supplemental appendix page 6, footnote 100. It was only in the reply brief where this issue came sharply into focus, so it was not in our briefs of this court, but I would commend it to Your Honor's attention. It involves a pipeline under the Ohio River from Kentucky to Ohio, and the question was who would deal with the siting and the environmental review of that facility. And FERC holds that it is the Ohio Power Siting Board that reviews the environmental issues in Ohio. And that's significant because the Ohio Power Siting Board is the entity under Ohio law that has siting jurisdiction. It is not a state commission within the meaning of Natural Gas Act Section 7F2. 7F2 refers to state commission. State commission is a defined term under Natural Gas Act Section 2.8. It is the entity with rate jurisdiction. So that, again, reinforces the point that when 7F2 talks about exclusive jurisdiction in the state, it's talking about exclusive utility regulatory jurisdiction over rates and services, not over siting facilities. And all of these cases are sharply different from the Algonquin case and the AES Sparrows Point cases. The key distinction is that in those cases, we're talking about interstate facilities certificated by FERC under its Natural Gas Act Section 7 authority. When FERC certificates a facility, it reviews environmental issues, it reviews local land use, it defers to local land use prerogatives when feasible, when it doesn't conflict with their natural gas sector responsibilities. So all those things are taken into account by a neutral government body. In contrast, for an intrastate facility, such as a facility built by a 7F2 designee, there is no such review at FERC. There was no review by FERC here. And then finally, it's the practice under the Natural Gas Act. If Maryland had FERC's siting authority, it would also regulate abandonments under Section 7 of the Natural Gas Act. Washington Gas would have had to apply to somebody for the authority to abandon the tanks that used to be at Chillum. They didn't do that. They also would have come to the Maryland Commission for siting review of their Chillum plan, not just for safety review, which is all they did here. Now, as I said earlier, Washington Gas has recognized that the statutory text does not reach facilities as distinguished from transport. But their position is that Judge Taz now bent the statute out of shape in order to reach facilities so as to cure a regulatory gap. Now, that makes no sense for at least three reasons. First of all, they rely very heavily on one sentence from the district court's March 2010 opinion. It appears at appendix page 520. It was quoted again this morning. They quote or paraphrase it at least 10 times in their briefs. What that sentence says is plaintiff is subject to the exclusive jurisdiction of the state where the gas is consumed. Plaintiff, the entity, Washington Gas. That's different from its facilities. It's different from the Chillum site, which is what Washington Gas refers to when they paraphrase that sentence. So why was the district court even talking at that point about jurisdiction over Washington Gas? Well, it's because that's how Washington Gas had framed the issue in its complaint. In their original complaint and their First Amendment complaint, which were basically just word processed from the appeal they had filed at state court and then decided not to pursue, they referred to themselves as an intrastate company. Then in oral argument at the district court level, they surprised the court and the defendant by saying they decided they actually were interstate because they wanted to fit under the Algonquin line of cases. In saying that the exclusive jurisdiction over Washington Gas was at the state level, all that the district court was holding was that it rejected that characterization, that because Washington Gas's rates and terms of service, the utility regulation, was performed by the Maryland Commission and by the other state commissions, Washington Gas was an intrastate company, and we could proceed to analyze it that way under the Pipeline Safety Act and the Natural Gas Act. And that's clear by the context of that statement. If you look over the four preceding pages, the court recited and rejected as misplaced the claim that 7F gives the Maryland Commission jurisdiction over facilities. And it says that Washington Gas is regulated as a local distribution company. And that means that its rates are regulated by the local commissions, as is true for other local distribution companies like Baltimore Gas and Electric. And it also means that the siting is governed locally, as it is for other local distribution companies. The second reason that the company's reading of what the court did in March 2010 makes no sense is that construing 7F2 that way would not cure a regulatory gap, would create one. If the siting is done as the county maintains, there's no gap. County law applies. The county looks at land use planning. It's only if you assign that jurisdiction to the state commission, which does not look at siting considerations other than safety, that you create a regulatory gap. And then thirdly is what the court actually did. According to Washington Gas, having cannibalized the statute to bridge a regulatory gap, the court then decided not to walk across that bridge. What the court did is very clear in its order. Paragraph 4 of its the order that accompanied the court's opinion at page 1046 of the opinion holds that county land use law is applicable to the Chillum site and the Chillum facility, and it is not preempted by the Natural Gas Act, the Pipeline Safety Act, or Maryland law. And I would note that we heard a lot about Maryland law this morning. The court reached four rulings, essentially. Three on preemption under the Natural Gas Act, under the Pipeline Safety Act, and under the Maryland Public Utilities Act, and then one on mandatory referral. The Maryland Public Utilities Act preemption claim is the one thing that the company did not raise in its initial brief, has not pursued here until this morning. So it's been dropped. So the bottom line is the district court held that exclusive jurisdiction means that only the PSCs, not FERC, regulate Washington Gas's rates and services. That covers 7F2. I've skipped over 7F1 because the phrase exclusive jurisdiction appears in 7F2, and that seems to be what the company is mainly focused on. But I would point out that the words further authorization in 7F1 refer to further authorization by FERC. They don't preclude further authorization by anyone. And that's clear even in the company's position. They recognize that the State Commission does look at safety. And it also could not be squared with the AES Sparrows Point decision, where other considerations come into play. Moving on to the Pipeline Safety Act. The company claims that the Safety Act occupies the field. But what field? The company's position is that it occupies the entire field of pipeline siting. That it, quote, does not contemplate that local land use requirements will apply to preclude a safe facility. Well, that's a pretty extreme position, and an example of which Your Honors could appropriately take judicial notice. If you've ever been to Mount Vernon, you know that the tour guides make a big point about the fact that if you look up off the portico across the Potomac River into Prince George's County, you're gazing on essentially the same pastoral view that George Washington had. That's not an accident. That's a result of decades of land use planning. But the company's position is that if it saved them a dime, the company could stick a tank farm in the middle of that vista. They've got condemnation authority. There's plenty of open land. If they can meet the siting requirements for vapor dispersion and so forth, the safety requirements, then there's nothing to stop them. Fortunately, that's not what the statute provides. The field reached by the statute is the field of safety. And this court has said so in its Tenneco decision in 1973, which was examining the preemptive reach of the Pipeline Safety Act. The court said the field here is a field of safety. The act provides no authority over pipeline location or routing. That's expressed in 60104E. The purpose of the act is to ensure the safe functioning of gas facilities. The title, Pipeline Safety Act. The legislative history makes clear that FERC, when it's dealing with interstate pipelines, has full authority to prevent community dislocation and to protect sites of historic importance or scenic beauty. By extension, as the district court recognized, when the local governments are exercising their own siting authority, they can look at those things as well, not just safety. The 1968 Office of Pipeline Safety Act, the regulations issued by the Office of Pipeline Safety, contemporaneous with the issuance of the act, made clear that they were not preempting bona fide local zoning or planning requirements with only an incidental effect on safety. That's what we have here. The Maryland Attorney General's Office of Legislative Counsel concurs. The PSC does not authorize exercise authority over siting decisions that defer such matters to local zoning authorities. The PSC regulations don't cover non-safety parameters, and their review of Chilliwack was, in fact, expressly limited to safety issues. Utilities, including Washington Gas, routinely seek local land use and siting approvals for facilities whose siting is regulated under the PSA. So the field issue at issue here is clearly circumscribed. It's safety. Only safety standards are preempted. The Fifth Circuit so holds, and so did the district court opinion in the Texas Midstream case, which is also worth drawing his attention. So the question here, as the district court correctly framed it, is the county's transit-oriented zoning plan a safety standard? Well, it's not. It's a comprehensive, multifaceted, integrated plan. It would bar a 15-story tank holding inert materials, not just a natural gas facility. The core of the plan is a 72-row by 10-column grid specifying what kinds of uses can happen at which types of land within the affected 300-acre zone. Now, it says that you can't have a big tank like this anywhere in the zone. It also says you can't build anything significant on the Washington Gas parcel, anything new, be it an office building or anything other than something compatible with its greenway recreational uses. Washington Gas says that, well, this was really all just a ploy to regulate safety without saying so. But the express purposes of the plan are set forth in the plan. When the county adopted the plan. Those were its purposes for doing so. And we know how to evaluate legislative purposes in evaluating whether a statute intrudes on federally regulated safety matters. The Supreme Court faced that very same issue in the Pacific Gas and Electric case over California's nuclear law, which said you can't build a nuclear plant in California until the nuclear waste issue is dealt with. Question there was, did that intrude on the NRC's radiological safety prerogatives? And the Supreme Court said no, and they resolved that by looking at the express purposes of the legislation and the four corners of the act. And they determined that it had a non-safety rationale and therefore was valid. This court's decision in the Penn Advertising case, the Baltimore Tobacco billboards case, same point. There was testimony at the public hearings in that case that was aimed at adult health. But the district court and this court said, no, the issue here is we can tell this is aimed at preventing illegal tobacco use by minors, which is a valid non-preemptive purpose, because those are the express purposes that set forth in the statute and in the official legislative history. And that's why discovery in that case was denied, and this court affirmed specifically on that ground. So the TDDP clearly has a non-safety rationale, and that's sufficient. You know, Washington Gas says this was targeted at them. This was targeted at something. If you look at the supplemental appendix, page 33, you'll see the planners drew a bullseye. They drew a bullseye around the West Hyattsville Metro Station. And they said, within a half-mile radius of this, pedestrian walking distance, we want to maximize residential development and economic development. The record shows that actually the first thought was to zone the Chillum site for residential facilities, but that had floodplain issues. So they said the best way to support residential development is to make this a part of an environmental greenway that'll attract residents, attract businesses to the area, support the transit-oriented development of the plan. There's no dispute of that. We put in affidavits by the two head planners of the effort, and they say the purposes of the TDP, of the transit plan, are as stated therein, and using Chillum the way the company wants to would not be compatible with its integrated planning and its purposes. The only thing that Washington Gas grasps at as a straw is that in addressing the safety, the special exception where safety is an element of the required waiver, there was testimony about safety. But what the zoning hearing examiner ruled, what the county determined in ruling on that case, was that it was mooted. Not that it would be unsafe, but that it was mooted by the transit plan, because the transit plan wouldn't allow this facility, safe or not. Last thing on safety is that the company throws in a conflict preemption claim, but they admit, a formal admission in their response to the counterclaim, their answer to the counterclaim, that they have alternatives. So there can't be conflict preemption. And in fact, the whole 300 acres here encompasses less than 0.1% of the county. So there's no conflict preemption. As to mandatory referral, the district court ruled on two grounds: that Washington Gas had failed to state a claim, that was ground one, and ground two was that any claim that could arise regarding the mandatory review process warranted abstention. In the company's brief at page 4, they recognized there were those two grounds. Well, they never briefed the first of those grounds, the 12b-6, so they've waived a sufficient ground to affirm the district court. I think that ends the issue. I would also note that the 12b-6 ruling was clearly correct under the Pan American case, under the Maryland Court of Appeals determination of what Maryland law is in Pan American. Mandatory referral is simply an advisory procedure that applies to government entities that are otherwise exempt from zoning. The third sentence is the operative one here. It says that certain government officials get to override a planning commission ruling against a facility. But Washington Gas is not a government official, and you can't parse that sentence any other way than referring to officials. And in fact, that is how the Pan American court, the Maryland Court of Appeals, parsed it in that case. That covers really what I had to say. I would invite any questions by Your Honors.
Well, I think we understand your position.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Ms. Jewett.
May it please the court. The district court held three different times in three different opinions that Washington Gas and the Chillum site were subject to the exclusive jurisdiction of the Maryland Service Commission. Her concern was over what she perceived as an argument that Washington Gas could go forward with an expansion of the Chillum site without any regulatory oversight. And in response to that concern, she specifically held that Washington Gas and its facility is subject to the exclusive jurisdiction of the Maryland Public Service Commission. That is a holding that the county cannot now dispute. It did not cross appeal from that holding. It cannot now argue that it should only really apply to transportation, or it doesn't make any sense because of where the gas is consumed. It is precluded from making the arguments that it made in the first 30-some odd pages of its brief because it did not cross appeal. The arguments they make seek to undermine the district court's judgment, to give them more rights and to take away rights from Washington Gas. That they may not do at this point in time. Now, I'd like to go back to the citing authority question that you asked, Your Honor, because it is true that the Public Service Commission does not have citing authority over natural gas facilities. And the county seems to say that, well, that just can't be. That cannot be the state of the law. There must be some review as to local zoning. But the county cites no authority for the idea that there must always be some review of local zoning in order for the Public Service Commission's jurisdiction to be exclusive. It goes way beyond the facts of this particular case. The Chillum site has been a natural gas substation for 70 years. It had all of the approvals that it needed to be, including land use approvals, to be a natural gas facility. So we're not talking about a need to determine siting questions in this case. That has already been decided. It is already a natural gas substation. The only question is whether it can now be expanded from being what it was previously to something different, a different type of storage of natural gas. That does not require zoning review or approval. Furthermore, there are times when facilities come into being without any review of local zoning at all. And it's in the very situation as here where the local zoning is preempted. It is preempted here because the Maryland Public Service Commission has exclusive jurisdiction to decide whether this is going to happen or not. And the county cannot, through its local zoning, intrude upon the power of the Public Service Commission to make that decision. It cannot prohibit an expansion when it is the Maryland Public Service Commission's very exclusive power to make that very decision. It simply cannot do that, as this court held in the Appalachia Power case. And I would also like to point out that the preemption that Washington Gas seeks here is extremely narrow. It relates, first of all, only to that type of natural gas company that distributes gas across state lines and has a service commission, has a service territory designated by FERC. Back in 1987, when FERC first designated a service territory for Washington Gas, there were six such companies in the United States. I'm not sure how many there are today, but we're not talking about an applicability that has broad ramifications. It only applies to a company like Washington Gas that has this atypical operational status. It also only applies to an expansion of the Chillum site. That's what is at issue in this particular case. It does not broadly say what will happen if there is some other new site that is not currently a natural gas site with some new as yet of unknown type of facility. That's just not at issue here. We're talking about a site that has long been used for natural gas. And so the position of Washington Gas is that we respectfully ask this court to reverse the judgment of the district court and to hold that the overlay zone and the development plan are preempted as applied to Washington Gas in this case. And also, although I didn't have time to argue it, we respectfully ask that this court, in the alternative, reverse the district court's decision to abstain from deciding mandatory referral and to remand with instructions to either decide the case or certify the question, as this court has previously done, to the Court of Appeals of Maryland. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Okay. All right, we'll come down to Greek Council and then take about a 5 or 10 minute break.
This honorable court will take a brief recess.